This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, thank you very much. We are at the ICANN Ombuds Office room 2 sub-team call. It's our 19, even we may have one additional one we had with a review team, but that's the official 19 ones. And thank you for participating. Any people who are not on the Adobe Connect and only not on Adobe Connect and just on the phone? Okay. Thank you. And I guess this time it's Phil Curry who joined us from the team of reviewer.
Yes, thanks, Sebastian.
Okay. Let's go to see what will be the suggest agenda. And the suggest agenda, it's what we have done. Welcome and then you apologize. We'll go quickly to participation and dashboard, and we will spend, I guess, most of our time on the external review. We will discuss where we are with interviews and where we are with a survey, a short feedback where we are with the ICANN anti-harassment policy. Just to give you the link of the different documents and have a short discussion and then the next meeting in any other business. Any comment, question, request from this agenda? Okay, thank you very much. Participation and dashboard. Participation, it's still the same, and as you can see, it's a small group of the active participants who are here, but thank you very much for joining us and participating to this discussion. I have made a draft slide for the dashboard, and the only thing I make any change is on the left up side. And if you have any comments, either now or later, as I have to send it in the next 2 or 3 days, I will be happy to have your input on that. It's just an update of what we have done and what will be our next activities. Okay, and now let's go to the main substance of this call. I have taken the slide we used last time about the interview. I didn't update it, and it's still the color of last week. I just add, from my knowledge, and maybe I am wrong, from which part of the community each of the interview or future interviewee will are coming from, and from the last time, I just add one at the bottom right, I had other, because I didn't find another place to put it. And I have a short discussion with Vidushi Marda, and she was willing to answer the interview. Maybe, I don't know, Lars or Phil or both of you can give us an update on where we are with this part of the work, and then, as you know, we will go to the survey discussion. Thank you. Okay, Lars first, and then eventually feel will come. Lars, please go ahead.
Thank you, Sebastian. This is Lars for the record. Yeah, I mean, Phil can obviously answer this as well. We've been in touch with Phil last week, and we reached out.
Lars, cool. We are not in a hurry. Please. Thank you.
Oh, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can hear you, but you speak too fast.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
For the interpretation.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I will be slower, I'm sorry. So we've been in touch with Phil and Deborah last week. We reached out to most of the people already on this slide you see here. I've also been in touch with some policy support staff from those that support the technical SONAC to make sure we get maybe one or two of those as well to contribute to this assessment by interviews. And I believe Phil and Deborah are working behind the scenes to kind of set this individually with those people and conduct the interviews. They might obviously overlap with the start of the survey, but we don't think that's an issue, and I think Phil and Deborah see that similarly. And I think that's the update for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Lars. Phil, do you want to...
Only to say we've begun the process of reaching out to the extra names. So Lars has sent introductory emails out, and we're in the process of making contact directly with people as they respond and trying to organise times and so on. So the first one arranged is Chris Lahat, who we'll speak to on Thursday, and Deborah is reaching out to the other names that are coming in as people respond. So some have responded saying they'll be available later on. Some haven't yet responded, but we're working away as best we can to connect to those, to the orange names, by and large.
Okay. Any question, comments? Okay. If not, let's go to the next slide. And there is nothing on my slide except the title. You want to say where we are with the survey, maybe Lars and Phil again. Lars.
Thanks, Sebastian. This is Lars. I thought we might be able to go through your comments. Hopefully everybody on the call has seen the proposed survey that I forwarded last week. Maybe we can pull up that document, Sebastian, it depends. I suspect, Phil, you've seen this already as well. You've seen Sebastian's comments. I leave that up to you, Sebastian, how you would like to run this. If you want to go through them and explain anything to the group, maybe somebody else would like to make a comment. Otherwise, I would suggest, from my perspective, there was nothing dramatic or controversial in your comments, Sebastian, so I would have thought Phil will be able to incorporate most of these, and then we can launch the survey, hopefully, within the next few days.
Okay. I don't know who have read either the proposed survey or the survey with my comments, but if staff can find out the proposed survey with my comments and put it on the screen, it will be very useful. And I didn't send it with my last mail, and it must be in an older mail. And I have to confess that I am unable to find it right now. Then I rely on you if you have it somewhere. If not, just put the one sent by Phil and Deborah. Please. therefore,
I think
yeah, go ahead.
We have the comments about the gender class. We'll put them up in just 1 second.
Okay, thank you.
Sebastian, it's Phil Khoury here. For the record, I might just make a comment about the survey before the document comes up.
Go ahead, Phil.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I don't think we're expecting a huge number of responses. We will be limited to, 10 days or 2 weeks of exposure, I think. And we're looking for qualitative input, but I'd be surprised if we achieved quantitatively reliable input from the survey. There may be enough to make some comments about the numbers who responded and their reactions, but we may well not. So I just didn't want to have people expecting that we would get a vast number of responses to this. I don't think it's a top-of-the-mind issue, in the scheme of the many issues floating around in ICANN. So I'd be expecting sort of deeper but less response. That would be my guess.
Okay. Thank you. It's the same, I guess. We are doing this survey mainly to allow additional people with some knowledge who want to give some inputs, we are not, we will not wait for hundreds or thousands of people to answer this. Okay, then maybe you can go through the question and then in fact, I don't know how we want to proceed. Maybe the participants have already gotten this document, and if you want to discuss it question by question and see if there are something missing or something we don't need to ask and other things like that.
Sebastian, it's Phil here. Would you like me to step through it? I'm happy to be guided by the response, but I can step through the survey and respond to the comments I received from you, if that's helpful.
Okay. We can do that, but I want to be my comments. You can take it. We can discuss it, but mainly I would like to be sure that all the participants, if they have inputs because they didn't have the opportunity to do it by writing, it's the right time to do it. After this call, we will say close the comments and ask you to finalize the questionnaire. Then it's really go question by question, if I can suggest, and if there is no comments, let's go to the next question.
Okay. The first section in the survey, I'm happy to accept the changes to the words in the introduction. The first question, I'm again happy to be guided by ICANN, experienced ICANN people in terms of what the categorizations are. I should just caution that we may not, depending on the numbers, we may not be able to report back against any of these or against some of them while maintaining confidentiality. So I just caution that we don't make it too over-engineered given the small numbers. But happy to take comments on question one categories.
Okay, just to One of the reasons I make some comments at the first sentence is just we need to be consistent with the world. And there are two things I was asking for, is that if we talk about, you are called advisor or you are called reviewer, but let's take one word, I don't care which one, and use it consistently into the document. That's, even if it's repetition, it's that then you decide which word you prefer. And the second is that we have decided as a subgroup to try to talk about ICANN ombuds and not anymore man. I know that it's not coming from man and woman, but we are thinking that it will be better to talk about ICANN ombuds. ICANN ombuds can embed two things. It's a question later on in the draft survey. Is it the office? Is it the person? Is it a group of people? And even you talk about the ombuds scheme, and it's also this part of the wording we need to be consistent throughout the document.
Phil here again. I'm happy to pick up the language ICANN prefers. In some couple of cases, there is a difference in meaning, but I will edit the document to make sure it talks about the ombuds. And I think I would use function. I think that's the way we would like to ask the question, so people are thinking about the design rather than the person, or necessarily how the current regime works. So there will be a slight difference depending on the tone of the question. But I will pick up your suggested edit, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, Phil, it's not too much to pick up my edit, but to be sure that you think that you are consistent. And I will not argue about if I ask you to put one or another word. I would like just to be sure that when we talk, we have one question from Avery, even if she left the call, but she asked the following comments. Might also be good to ask people whether they have ever been the target of an ombuds investigation complaint, similar to 3 and 4. Maybe somewhere we need to add that it's not just the people who complain about something, but the people who were under the review or under the complaints could be useful to be added as a question.
Okay.
Okay, and Cheryl saying that she agrees both with your points, Phil, about focusing on the function and the addition from Avery. Thank you. Cheryl, you want to talk? Go ahead, please.
Just briefly, thank you, Cheryl Langdon, for the record. Only because I'm typing, we'd be on to another thing by the time I got around to typing what I want to say. Just on that point of Avery's, if you're going to add that question, and I think it is a good one, we probably need to word it in some way that it's whether they, the respondent, has ever been the target of an ombuds investigation complaint. Sometimes some of us are in charge of entities that are the target as opposed to individuals who are being targeted. So if you could find some way of discriminating that as well. I, for example, have, as chair of the ALAC, been in control and a primary respondent because of being the chair when the ALAC was under ombuds review, and I've also been personally brought up to the ombudsman for potential case issues. So I would answer yes to both of those. And I think that is also important.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl, for your inputs. Okay. Any other, and good points. Any other comments to be taken for question one or? Okay. Then Phil, let's go to the question two and the following ones now on the screen.
I don't think anyone had any comments that I saw about question two. It's really for us to get some sense of the level of awareness of the office. For question three, we'll pick up both Avery and Cheryl's comments about the complaint dispute, so that we're clarifying whether people had initiated or were subsequently part of the complaint. We'll have to be careful with the wording to make sure that the subsequent questions still make sense in that split, but we can do that.
Okay. Al, please, if you have comments, go ahead.
Merci, Sebastien. I just wanted to bring this into to everybody's attention. The new harassment anti-harassment policy refers to the Office of the Ombudsman, which is the name in the bylaws. So the official name of the office is the Office of the Ombudsman. But when it refers to what we had kind of decided, where the individual would be referred to as the ombuds, in the harassment policy, ICANN is calling that person the ombudsperson. So we may want to maintain consistency with the organization in terminology. So if we get into comments about whether people have actually spoken to the ombudsman, we kind of decided ombuds, but of course our report hasn't made it to the organization yet. But the new policy says ombudsperson. Thank you. Merci.
Okay. We will discuss that later on the anti-harassment policy. It's the limit of where, when the community is engaged in one work and when we have had something or make some, I would say decision in the way to name something, it's not yet into the full ICANN. But we will live with that for the moment. No worries. Okay. Any other comment to the question 2, 3, 4? 5. Avery, you want to speak, or you want me to read your comments to be recorded? It's up to you.
Oh, I can speak. I thought writing them should be sufficient. This is Avery, but if you feel the need to write them, if you would feel the need to speak them, then I'll speak them, but I don't see why writing isn't sufficient. But anyway, okay, so Cheryl already took care of the thing of having to include. There seemed to be confusion about how we would talk about this. One could specifically ask whether someone's been a party to an ombuds action and then ask them specifically, were you the complainant, were you the defendant, or were you a third party that was, you know, spoken to. And then the rest of the questions can indeed refer to party in a complaint or party in an action or whatever word we want to use to describe what it is an ombuds does, or ombuds person, I guess, if that is what the organization has deemed we should say. It's always good to do what the organization tells us we should do. You really shouldn't ask me to speak. So, and then basically, though, you could refer to party in the complaint or whatever all the way through and get rid of the ambiguity. The only thing I was thinking is then how do you correlate the answers of, oh, this is the way complainants see it, this is the way targets see it, and this is the way third parties that are pulled in for consultation see it. But then it occurred to me that some people, many people, may have been all three. and so that wouldn't work. So if we want to have some knowledge with the survey of whether we're getting different answers from the you know, the complainants, the targets, or the third parties, then you'd need to really rethink, you know, the survey. And I hope I didn't break any of our new manners rules. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. I don't know if you break any rules, and I don't know if I will not break any rules, but I like that you were asking the boss of the organization to know which word to use in our discussion. That's great. Thank you. I guess it's it's a good point to take into account, and maybe one of the difficulty you will face with this with the survey that you have some people within the within ICANN who are part of Ombuds Complain for a different side, and that may be one of the tricky part of how to handle that in a single simple study survey.
Yeah, I must say we're a bit cautious about over-engineering the survey and making it too long for people to tolerate. But I can see that. Avery's quite right. We would have to split the result at question five or six and collect information from people who were, you either have to force people to choose one, please give your responses as, you know, select one role and give your responses for that, or allow people to offer up multiple responses. So we can do that. It just makes it more complicated, that's all.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Phil. Any other comments, question on these questions? If not,
for question six, that was suggested, and I think it's fine to add a couple of dimensions to number six. One of which was suggested was confidentiality. Did you feel that the process was confidential and your input was kept confidential? That's a sensible suggestion, which I'm happy to add to it. There's probably another possible dimension, depending on the discussion later on, that might creep back into this. But this doesn't complicate the survey; just makes it a little bit longer. So I'm fine with that.
Okay, then let's go to the next question. Any comments? Okay. If not, I will move question 10.
Sebastian, I'll remove schemes that Lars had already picked that up for us, but somehow it slipped in again, so I apologize for that. I'll take out that.
That's okay. If we have nothing to tell you, then why we will be useful for? It's
okay.
I guess we already discussed what it's in yellow and okay, then if there is any comments globally on the survey, any questions? If not now, everything, Phil, it's in your hands with Deborah and obviously Lars supporting you. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask us, and we'll try to answer as soon as possible. And as soon as it is published, we will try to reach out to our own network to see to encourage people to answer to the survey.
Phil here again. Thank you, Sebastian, and thank you, everyone. I think we have a question from Asha.
Yeah, I will read it. Asha question. I have a general question on the distribution of the survey. How will this be distributed as widely as possible? Maybe Lars, you want to give us your feedback or point of view on that question?
This is Lars. Thank you, Sebastian. Yes, of course, no problem. So what we usually will do is, first of all, we're going to have the survey also translated. So the translations might come online a few days after the English, the time needed for that, obviously. But we will put this up on the ICANN website. I've also already reached out to the ICANN org people from the policy department to have sent this out on various mailing lists within the 18 SOs. And then we'll also publish it via the usual ICANN standard social media, also those on the SO and AC. We put in the regional newsletters. I will also, and this kind of looks back to you, Sebastian, I will kind of write a quick draft that you obviously can expand or edit as you see fit. But I would highly recommend that all the members of this group kind of write a personal note either to their peers or to the organization to ask them to participate as well, which is much more efficient than simply having it go out in a more generic fashion. We will make we know we have only a limited amount of time, and so we will most certainly do our best to maximize the response rate. Thank you, Sebastian.
Thank you, Lars. It's bring another question. We say that we will have two weeks for the survey. Even if we are not waiting for a big number of answers, we may at least wait for a certain number. If so, what could be this number? Is it, 50? Is it 100? Is it more? Because I think that if we are under one specific number, it will be more difficult to get any to analyze the answer if we don't have enough. But I guess you have already discussed that. And Lars, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Sebastian. I'm going to put my old or former professor hat on and say the deadline has no impact on the amount of responses we get, because if we say 5 weeks from the outset, everybody will wait until week five. So that's why we start over the 2 weeks. But that's it's a loose-ish deadline. And Sebastian raised a good point. We obviously need a certain amount of responses. But again, there's obviously a playoff, right? We can't have this open for 6 months. I know that seems dramatic. But what I'm trying to say is that when the 2 weeks come up, and we'll do a push over the last few days to get as many responses as possible, we'll check in with you and also with Phil and Deborah and see especially what Phil and Deborah are comfortable with in terms of response rate. We'll also see what we have. And then maybe we can see where the people are coming from. You know, if it's 50 people with a really good spread across the ACs and SOs, I think that could be valuable already. That's probably more valuable than 100 people, I mean, all from the Agene SO. And so I think we should, reaction would be to play this by ear and kind of make sure when the survey closes that we all agree that we either need to expand or can close right now depending on the response that we have. The numbers, Sebastian, I can tell you from previous reviews, kind of vary. It took, for example, much longer to get a response of 150 from the GNSO than it took from the for the at-large review. So let's see where we stand in 2 weeks and then assess from there. I think that might be most beneficial.
Okay. Thank you, Lars. And Asha made the following comments. We should aim for high response rate to get feedback from as large a base as possible. And we will discuss, I guess, in 2 weeks' time during our call where we are and if we decide to use more time or less time. I guess it will be, as it will not be published in the tomorrow, we will see during the call in 2 weeks where we are and what we suggest to do. Okay. Thank you very much. Any last question, comments about the survey? Asha, she's suggesting to help to add that the link to the survey in the Ombuds blog. And Lars, just think about if we want to publish a blog post on that, could be also a possible idea if you think it's feasible and useful. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Sebastian. Yeah, definitely it will be part of a blog posting once it's up and running. It'll also go on my Facebook and Twitter feed. And I also have lists of email addresses for people who have been involved, mostly complainants, who have complained to the office, that I can contact directly and offer them to either conduct the survey or contact Phil and Deborah independently. So I will be reaching out to as many people as I can conceivably do. We stopped doing the surveys in the office back in, I think it was for the 2015 annual report, simply because the response rate was abysmal. We would send 200-300 emails out to people who had complained to the office over the year and get two responses. So we stopped doing it because it just wasn't working. If I reach out to them individually with a personal email, hopefully I'll be able to garner a little bit more support. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Let's go back to the PowerPoint. Let's go to the, if there is no other last comments on the review of the Ombuds office, either the interview or the survey, let's go to the anti-harassment policy. It's more to confirm or to give you in the slide the different link, and I guess we get it from Asha mails, and it was useful. One of the reasons I put that again, not just only to give you the link, but it's also because we need to add that as a new task for the ICANN Ombuds office, and we need to take that into account in our future recommendation. As you remember, Workstream 1 already gives some new task and responsibility for the Ombuds office, and now we have this anti-harassment. That's first feedback and element we need to take into account. Before going to some specific issue in that regarding this decision of the board. Do you have any question, comments? Okay, if not, I was
okay,
waiting
thank
for...
Thank you, everyone. It's Phil Khoury. I will excuse myself.
Yeah, thank you very much, and talk to you hopefully next week or to Deborah, depending on who will participate. But thank you.
Good
night,
Phil.
Bye-bye, all. Cheers.
Bye. Thank you. Then, any comments, question about that? Okay, my concern, it's in the board resolution, where it says at the end, better if I put it on my screen, I read the resolve. The last resolve, it's the board director, president and CEO or his designee to ensure that the organization, that staff continue to monitor whether the office of the ombudsman is the appropriate place for a community member to file a complaint under, and so on and so forth. And I am concerned with this resolve, because the ombuds must be totally independent from the president and the CEO and from the staff. Anybody else would have been a good a good person to do that. And the other thing is to ensure that the organization continue to monitor. Frankly, I don't think, and for me it's contrary to the bylaws, that the organization continue to monitor. It's not their job. They can do it, obviously, if the CEO thinks that it's useful. But from a board perspective, I think it must be done by either the board itself or our group. Our group is not seated anywhere in this discussion, I think that the link between the role of the ombuds and how it's done must have been more carefully thought. And I really think that we need to include that in our work. Part of the answer is to say, but you are not ready, you didn't publish a report yet, and we need to go ahead with this anti-harassment policy. It's a fair point, but now we know where we are, and I think we need to take that into account in our work and recommendation for the future. And just to take one example about possible output, it's that when one of the questions is how female will make a complaint if the ombuds is a man. It's something we need to take into account. I am not sure that the answer suggested today is the best one, but it's something we will discuss and hopefully make a recommendation to be handled by the ombuds if we think that it's feasible. Okay, there are some exchange, maybe, I don't know, Avery, you want to talk?
Okay, this is Avery speaking. I think what I was making were side points and questions, so I'm not sure that they necessarily fit in. Oh, this is Avery speaking. basically, I was questioning in what way the organization was the right people to check whether something is working for the community. Since, you know, there's at the moment at least a ungulfable separation between the two, or if it's gulfable, it's only through the board. So I'm wondering to what extent that is an adequate address for monitoring its success. But when you mentioned our group as a possible way to do it, our group is very transitory and in the best of all possible worlds will be, you know, blinking out of existence in the very near future because it'll be done with its WS2 work. So if we're thinking that there needs to be something that monitors this, other than the obviously the ombudsman is not the best for monitoring how well the ombudsman is working, we may need to think about some other mechanism for monitoring the performance of the ombudsman person function in longer term, and I'm not sure I have the suggestion for that yet, but you made a very good point when you said, you know, it's supposed to be separate from staff. Well, if staff is the one that is judging the performance, then it's obviously not separate. So there's a confusion in there, and I was really making side comments trying to understand that issue. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Avery. Sébastien Bachelet speaking. Yeah, I agree with you, and it's why, yes, obviously our group is a short-term group, and I hope that we will not go too long to finish our work, but I was thinking that the board could have asked us to review what they have done, and we need to find out how the community will be involved, and that's a question we need to discuss, and not just for this specific policy, but I would have been more comfortable with decision of the board asking the whatever committee of the board to take care of that and not the staff and the CEO. That's my only point. The rest, we will need to discuss it here and see, as you have said, what is your what is our proposal for the review, and as she'll write periodic reviews, but she has a hand up, and I will give Cheryl the floor.
Thank you, Sébastien. Cheryl, for the record. Periodic reviews or periodic independent reviews seems to be a way forward in those terms, because, yes, I agree. I certainly don't want to be in this work group ad nauseam and forevermore. But indeed, if there was another independent periodic review of the office, I could very well put my hand up. So that's the sort of thing I think we should be enshrining. I just wanted to react to your concern, and it is a concern that will be raised by others, I am sure, about the gender of who you are complaining to in terms of the ombudsperson in the matter of harassment of any form. It is a much more complicated thing, particularly when it's not of insignificant concern to the complainant. I would warn us from getting down that rabbit hole, if at all possible. And, of course, you would have to be speaking of gender as opposed to male and female, because we may have ombuds officers who are, of course, of any gender in the future. We just happen to have had three males in a row up until date. But a well-trained, professional, considerate how to put this politely, an ombuds who is looking after their own sanity, safety and reputation, would put in place some mechanism, start an operational procedure, which would deal best with or compensate for some of these very possibly complicated and highly emotive reactions on gender. It could, for example, be the use of another advocate. It could be all sorts of things, but it's a highly complicated thing, and it in fact even goes beyond gender. It can go to age and all sorts of stuff. So just would prefer us to keep a light touch on that topic, and hope that the Ombuds Office will be smart and professional in dealing with these issues. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. Sébastien speaking. Just before giving the floor to Herb, one of the reasons I am raising this issue, it's because board resolution is talking about that and asking or suggesting help from staff if there is this. And it's why I agree with you. If we can be as light as possible, it will be great, but now it's on the table. I will put the last resolve of this and the last part of the sentence. It's really what we were talking about. But maybe Herb have some more inputs on that. And thank you, Cheryl, for raising this issue again. Herb, please, go ahead.
Merci, Sébastien. Herb Waite, for the record. My quick, immediate, best-case scenario would be to a female adjunct, but I'm heading to L.A. In about 10 days because there are, of course, contractual issues that have to be looked at, in not just my contract, but there's some of the things that we've talked about previously in this subgroup is the term of the ombuds contract. And so before I can move ahead with hiring a female adjunct who would be able to assist me with the harassment issues, I have to talk with ICANN Legal about where the office is going to be moving forward. That would be my ideal solution, somebody that I could train up on or would have training on dealing with harassment issues. I've looked at both involving the community and involving people from the ICANN Corporation, and I don't think either of those would be good solutions for two reasons. One is the confidentiality of the office, and the other would be the conflict of interest that may arise having somebody that's actively involved in either the community or the organization, corporation, assisting in matters like that. So it's a work in progress, and I'm hoping to have a solid answer for this moving forward very shortly. Merci. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think this discussion and exchange was very useful. We have just a few minutes to go. I suggest that we go to the next part, is to talk about the calendar. And I didn't change anything on the roadmap about the review, but we will have more idea when the survey will be done, and we will have to figure out there when we can have a first report, and because obviously we were supposed to have an interim report by the end of this month, and it's not the case, and that's okay with us, I guess, but then we will have to figure out what will be the schedule. And our next call, we will get back to our 3 hours change with the summer hour in the Northern Hemisphere and the summer hours in the other part of the world, I guess. But it will change for some of us slightly, the call. And then the next call will be the number 20, and it will be on Monday, 3rd of April, 2017. Any other business? Okay. If not, I just want to remind all of you, if you have something specific to get back from the other subgroup to be taken care by our Ombud subgroup, just feel free to do it. And that's the last part of the presentation and documents. And I would like to thank you very much once again for your participation, and talk to you soon during our next call at 7 p.m. UTC or 1900 UTC, as you wish. Have a good week, and once again, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.